Welcome, everybody, to episode number 6 of the Keep On Rolling podcast. My name is Josh Swain, and as usual, I'm your host here. I'm also the training manager for the U.S. Truck Tire team. But today, I have the unique privilege of being joined by three experts in all things EV and then some. I'm joined by Young Kim, Brittany Jordan, and Richard Zerbe. So I will hand it over to you guys. And Brittany, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself real quick, tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Hello, everybody out there in the podcast universe. My name is Brittany Jordan. Here at Continental in the product management group. So I'm responsible for U.S., Canada, and Mexico, and then supporting some of the EV initiatives that we have related to tire performance and what we have coming up in terms of product strategy. Happy to be here.
Perfect. We'll hand it over to Young next.
Hello, everyone. My name is Young Kim. I've been with Continental for, will be 25 years in June. My current position right now is I am the Automotive Engineer Supervisor for the Truck Tire OE North America. And basically what I do is I am the technical liaison support for the OEM representing Continental. Interesting fact is I started with Continental as a truck tire builder and worked my way up to this position. I started in manufacturing and made it all the way through here. So I have a lot of experience when it comes to truck tires. I'm kind of a truck tire geek when it comes to it.
Hey, perfect. That's exactly the type of geek we want on this podcast here. So this should work out well. And Richard, I'll hand it over to you for your introduction here next.
All right. Thank you, Josh. Yeah. Hello, everyone. My name is Rich Zerbe. I'm an automotive engineer, and I do report to Young Kim. I've been with Continental for 10 years now, basically split evenly. I started out in the automotive side in powertrain, spent 5 years in that, and then I jumped over to truck tire about 5 years ago, so 10 years total there. I specialize mainly in the trailer and regional teams, so trailer truck tires, and then also the smaller truck manufacturers where especially EVs right now, a lot of startups that we'll dive in further, but a lot of EV startups going on, and have been assigned to a majority of them.
Perfect. Well, thank all three of you guys for being here today to talk with us about EVs. So I think this is an acronym that the people have been hearing a lot about over the last 5 or 6 years and a little bit before then, but definitely a topic that has been growing even in our commercial truck world here these days, right? So I guess, start things off, EV stands for electric vehicle, unless I'm wrong there, which, wouldn't be the first time, but electric vehicles is really the topic we want to discuss. So when we were trying to figure out how we wanted to kind of go through this, we figured it might be a good idea to talk a little bit about the past of electric vehicles and maybe a little bit about what we're seeing present day for us today. I mean, there's so much news, there's so many headlines going around. So I'm going to get y'all's opinion on kind of the past and the present of what's going on with these types of vehicles.
Just to start, I mean, EV vehicles have been around. It's been around for a long time, just not in a big commercial scale. But there's been EV vehicles throughout history since the battery has been invented and the electric motor has been invented. EV now is becoming a bigger topic because, as you know, politically, globally, or economically, whatever you want to look at it, there's a lot of focus on clean and renewable energy. And we're just now at the beginning parts of where EV, electric vehicles, are becoming, I guess, the early starts of mainstream.
Maybe just to piggyback on what he's saying, I think when we were younger, it's like, you think, oh, it's not going to be a part of my lifetime. It won't be a thing. Everything will always be powered by fuel. Every major truck OEM, I think you two would agree, is participating, developing, putting money into R&D to make this happen. So we are here. It's not just a concept anymore. You see a concept car and like, oh, that'd be cool in 39, 40 years. We're here. Although it's still a very small share of the market at this point, probably about 1 or 2%. We expect that to grow quite a bit due to some legislation and things that I'm going to let Young and Rich talk about that are coming out in the next probably decade or so that will heavily influence that. Maybe just to say a couple of things too, you might hear ICE, internal combustion engine. So if you hear those terms, BEV or EV is just battery electric vehicle, just in case we throw those out there and you're like, what is ICE? What is BEV? Just to clarify for the listeners.
And I guess I would like to bounce off of what Young was saying about history too. It's kind of interesting to me that in a way, human beings really don't change much. I say that because there are haters back then. There was adopters back then. And a little example, back in roughly around the 1830s, a guy came up with a horseless carriage. And this is pre-battery rechargeable time. And he entered a parade with a horseless carriage. And everybody freaked out. Like, you know, what kind of magic is this? And in the end, the crowd basically destroyed his vehicle. They were like so afraid of it, if you will. So we had the haters way back then. And then probably in the late 1800s to, you know, the early 1900s, electric vehicles become prominent, quote unquote, with the well-to-do folks. And that mainly was because they were a little more expensive and electricity was only available in the major cities. You get outside the cities, there were no electric lines, no power, et cetera, et cetera. And believe it or not, in the major cities back in the late 1800s and early 1900s, they actually had charging stations at these stores to cater to these folks that had money to spend. So it's kind of interesting to me when I reflect back on history, not a whole lot has changed. It's just more the technology involving to make them a little more, I guess, convenient, if you will. Back then, lead acid batteries were the main power of electricity for these vehicles, and they're very heavy. So it was all acceptable to run from the home to the store and back and stuff like that. But there's a lot of, I guess, similarities from when they first kind of were introduced to even today.
Well, now every time I see one of those superchargers popping up in a shopping center parking lot, man, I'm going to have a whole new newfound respect to the history of it coming back around full circle. So, yeah, I mean, that's really interesting way to look at it, right? You know, I think if you ask a lot of folks today, you know, hey, what do you think about electric vehicles? When do you think they first came out? And I think you'd probably have a lot of folks who look at it and say, oh, well, obviously Tesla, right? That was the first one.
Exactly.
But really, there was a lot that predated it. So,
and another interesting fact, too, what kind of actually put the nail in the coffin, if you will, the first time around on the EVs is Cadillac came out with electric starter in 1915, right around there. And of course, that propagated to the other car lines too. But once the electric starter came out and the car technology of the internal combustion engine kept on evolving and crude oil became more and more readily available at a decent price, it pretty much the internal combustion engine just had so many better features at a better price point, if you will, that it pretty much eventually then wiped out the EV back in that time period.
Well, it's interesting you bring up some of the innovations from Cadillac and General Motors here. I mean, you know, when we think about commercial trucking today and we think about EVs coming out here, I mean, you see all kinds of press releases. You hear a lot of people talking about EVs or partial electric vehicles coming out for commercial trucks. But I mean, what does the status of them actually look like today? I mean, what are OEMs doing today for electric vehicles? I mean, are there any major players that really stand out? Or I mean, what's really going on in that area these days?
Let's go to the very big commercial side, okay? They all have some EV product out now. As far as mass production-wise, it's ramping up because, you know, it comes to demand and so on. But all the major trucking manufacturers, the four major ones, so you got International Navistar, you have Daimler Truck North America, you got PACCAR Group, and then you got the Volvo Mack Group. They all have a product. And to be honest, this year, you're going to see they're going to have a lot more products coming out. And a lot of it starting in the regional segment. Long haul segment right now is a challenge because with today's technology, they just can't get the range needed for the long haul operation. The only truck company that right now is playing in that segment is Tesla. Other than that, the others are still, I guess, right now, there's kind of what is the best technology for the long haul segment when it comes to electric vehicles. And right now, it's looking like the battery electric, just straight up battery electric, might not be the most optimal. There's a lot of look at hydrogen as far as the fuel source. It could be hydrogen electric or hydrogen combustion. And the difference is hydrogen electric uses a hydrogen as a fuel cell to generate electricity, whereas a hydrogen combustion works kind of like our internal combustion, except for instead of being using fossil fuel, it uses hydrogen and oxygen and basically creates a combustion. Those are at a very early stages, and there are still a lot of technological challenges that comes with that. And if this kind of dates me, but if you go back, right now it's kind of like beta versus VHS or high definition DVD versus Blu-ray. So right now there is trying to figure out which of these technologies will be the right one and then become standard. And then we will start seeing on the long haul segment. But in the class 6 and 7 and regional segment, there is a lot of push and there's a lot of battery electric options out there now. All the major manufacturers have them. And then the other segment that is really took off very big, of course, is more in the class 3 van segment. So the van segment is already out there. We know we got Rivian, we got FCCC, which is Freightliner Custom Chassis. We have BrightDrop from GM. So there's quite a bit out there on that segment. The only segment right now that is kind of not in the playing field would be the class 4-5 segment, which is kind of like a Ford Super Duty segment or the Ram 4500, 5500. That segment is still haven't transitioned over yet, but that is coming. It's coming. But right now, I think class 6 segment is the leading segment for commercial truck EVs.
Maybe just to specify too here, because Young kind of went through the manufacturers. I have a little list here I just wanted to read off to let you know, like, this is getting pretty serious. So Daimler, aka Freightliner, has the eCascadia. Daimler Freightliner also has the EM2. So the EM2 is more of like a regional, local pickup and delivery type of a vehicle. Daimler Thomas, which is more of the school bus segment, so local, urban, regional. They have the EC2 school bus that is all electric. Navistar also has an electric school bus and also an EMV is what they're calling it. Volvo has the VNR electric. Peterbilt has an EV. They're calling it 2020 EV. Peterbilt also has the 579 EV. Tesla has a semi. BYD has one. And Kenworth has the K270E and 370E. And I'm listing all this just to say it's not like it's just one company, one make, one model. We're already seeing class 7 and 8, to Young's point earlier, these each class of vehicles starting to break out with multiple different lineups here. So just to kind of add to that list, not only just the manufacturer, but how many different models of e-vehicles we're seeing starting to emerge in the market that are active today for purchase.
Yeah, and I guess I'll add on to that too. We keep a running tally, if you will, of, I mentioned a little earlier about startup EV companies. And right now on our list, we have 44 different companies on that EV list. Some of them do duplicate what Brittany mentioned, but the majority of them are startup companies. So there's a lot of activity around the different OEMs that are out there.
And with that, that's really interesting, because if you look at the legacy manufacturers, so the ones that produces and have established and not startup, a lot of them have taken their existing platforms, converted to an EV, and that's how they started their EV transition. What's interesting is the startups, on the other hand, actually, some of the startups actually started by designing from ground zero. So they didn't have those legacy frames and so on. So they would have a little more freedom as far as building up a new platform, literally platform on technology. And if you go to the trade shows and stuff, commercial trade shows like NTEA truck shows and stuff like that, you get to see some of these different innovative approaches on how to achieve this EV. And it's really, right now, it's a lot of stuff out there. We'll see. As we always know, when it comes to industrialization, certain technologies will live and certain technologies, even though it sounds good, will die. So right now we are at a toddler stage of technology, which means we're not at the infant stage. We're at a stage where we're walking. The industry is walking. Eventually, it will pare down, and we'll get into what I call the teenage area, where we'll have quite a bit of options out there, right? And then eventually we'll get to the more mature level, and that's where technologies, we'll see which technologies actually flourish and start becoming standard.
The other force that is always out there is government. Government can promote something by giving, like for instance, the IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act that our current government offers right now to incentivize EVs. If somebody maybe didn't want to incentivize EVs, they could tax them. So there's a lot of different forces. And of course, the buyer also the consumer is also in the mix too. But there's a lot of forces out there that will dictate what technology in the end, quote unquote, wins.
That's really interesting you bring that up, Rich, because I mean, when you talk about EVs, it's really difficult to separate out EVs and their rise in popularity from legislation. So, I mean, you mentioned a couple of acts, but I mean, what are some of the other legislative things that have happened that have really, you know, gotten this boom of EVs kind of up and running, especially in the commercial world?
Well, I could jump on the legislation portion. So the biggest thing right now that has pushed the EV would be CARB. CARB is the biggest factor in our market that is pushing cleaner energy. They've always been progressive about this, and they have legislation in book. First, they started off with what they call the Advanced Clean Truck Regulation. The regulation kicks in this year. Basically, it mandates OEMs to start selling what they call zero emission vehicles. So basically anything that doesn't produce CO2, you know, from internal combustion and so on. So basically that is another good way of saying electric vehicles in this case, right? But it's a broader term. So zero emission isn't always, you know, just battery electric per se. But the point is that regulates OEMs, or original equipment manufacturers, to start selling zero emission vehicles into the market on the commercial side, starting this year. So by the end of this year, there's certain target goals of per class of what percentage of their sales into the market of California has to be zero emission. On top of that, there has been a total of 16 states, but they came to an agreement saying we will follow and have some type of plan for zero emission vehicles. Of those 16 states with CARB, six states adopted the exact legislation CARB has for the advanced truck. So now we have a total of 7 states that this year is mandating a certain amount of sales to be zero emissions. So that's one. That is the first push. CARB, on top of that, has a legislation called the Advanced Clean Fleet. So now the clean truck was an OEM mandate. The fleet now mandates fleets. And that basically is another way of getting the end user or to start adopting zero emission as they're changing out vehicles. So that's from the CARB section. And then with the 16 states I mentioned before they agreed, they're working on the just similar legislation. So it is coming, there's legislation push. Now on a national level, and this is from the EPA, they are working on what they call the greenhouse gas phase 3. And we've had phase 1 and 2, but that mandated emissions for the ICE vehicles or internal combustion to meet certain emission standards. Now, but the phase 3 is addressing those emissions by saying that OEMs have to start producing and introducing more zero emission vehicles. So this is the first time where EPA is now pushing electric vehicles or zero emission vehicles. So we got a state level, and then we have a federal level, and they're all lined up. And that's why we see OEMs offering transitioning this way, because there is legislative push.
Maybe I can clarify some acronyms because we use them all the time. And for those listeners who aren't familiar, so Young was just addressing two branches of government because we're talking about the state level and the federal level. So the first one he mentioned was CARB. If you don't know, CARB is the California Air Resources Board. So this is at the state level. CARB's mission, if you're not familiar, is to promote and protect public health, welfare, and ecological resources through the effective reduction of air pollutants while recognizing and considering effects on the economy. No, I did not memorize that. I'm reading directly from their mission statement. If you have some time, browse through it. But that's why they're looking at ZEVs or zero emission vehicles to help keep their air cleaner in California. And then the second government entity he mentioned was EPA. So EPA stands for Environmental Protection Agency. This is a part of U.S. government, right? And so their goal is quite similar. Their whole thing is for looking into ways to make, you know, our environment cleaner. And their mission is to protect human health and the environment as a whole. So both of them have their own websites. It's funny because I just clicked on it here and took a look. And one of the first things they mentioned on their front pages is ZEV, zero emission vehicles.
Well, I think that's really interesting because, I mean, we talked some about the past regulations that's gotten us here, but that the new future of those CARB regulations and the other states starting to adopt it. I mean, that's a relatively new trend, right? I mean, I think there's been some CARB legislation that's impacted or influenced, I guess, EPA regulation. But now having state sign on and say, nope, we agree with this too. This is going to be that same kind of level of enforcement or interests that we see in California now spreading to other states as well, it sounds like. I think is a good introduction for us to talk a little bit about what we think is going to happen with EVs here in the next 10 to 15 years. I mean, we talked a little about hydrogen fuel cell technology. I mean, battery technology is always a big topic. So, I mean, what do you guys think? I mean, what does the future of EVs look like over the next 10 to 15 years for the commercial trucking market?
The main point is, I think the big thing is it happening? I mean, that's the question, right? Is this going to stay and is it going to happen? Well, if we look globally and we look over to our overseas in Europe, they've already transitioned. They're way ahead on the EV sector. I think it's just human nature for us to want cleaner and better environment. And that's why I think zero emission vehicle, whether it's battery electric, hydrogen fuel cell, hydrogen combustion, or whatever the technology in the future is, I think this is just a natural progression. The only difference is the natural progression might be a little accelerated with legislation put.
Yeah, and I was going to say too, just maybe differentiating a little bit between ICE or internal combustion engine, powered tractor or truck, whatever term you want to use for Class 8, versus electric Class 8 truck. Because there have been Class A trucks, like Brittany mentioned and Young mentioned already, they're out there in the field already at some of these fleets and all. And the reports are coming back from the drivers that they really like the quietness of the EV tractors. Very, very smooth. And the torque and power that the EVs produce. Just a little technical information. Electric motor makes its greatest amount of torque at zero RPM. So the minute you push on the accelerator, and if the software code allows it to go to full torque, that electric motor is giving you everything it got before the vehicle even realizes it's going to get shoved forward. But basically, there's a lot of positives about electric vehicle tractor. And another one that I hear is, you know, right now there's a challenge in some locations to get qualified tractor drivers and retention of the drivers. Well, one thing nice about an EV tractor, there's no shifting to be done. So it opens up a whole world to other people that can drive a tractor. If you can drive pretty much a car, you can drive one of these Class A tractors that an EV. And I'm not saying the doors close on internal combustion engines, because me personally, I think the internal combustion engine is going to be around a while. It's a transition situation, just like the mobile phone or cell phone. It didn't happen overnight.
Right.
It took a long time. and the infrastructure had to be built up. And that's the same thing for if you're going to be using hydrogen or electric batteries. The hydrogen infrastructure needs to be developed, and I see that a little further out than the actual charging stations. Some of the money from the VW diesel gate was taken and put into putting electric vehicle chargers in the infrastructure. So again, none of that's going to happen overnight. So like Young mentioned earlier, I think batteries kind of right now have the lead, especially for regional and short haul applications. But there's a lot of money being spent on research also for hydrogen and hydrogen infrastructure.
I think, Rich, you got up a good point about like the gradual nature of the how it's going to like maybe start off slower and then maybe pick up. And maybe just to go back to a point that Young was making earlier when he was talking about CARB or the California Air Resources Board topic, the adoption rate or the ZEV sales percentage that they're targeting by 2035 for class 7 and 8 tractors is about 40%, right? So what they're asking is like this year, 2024, about 5%, a slow ramp up to the point where 40% of their overall sales are targeted to be zero emission vehicles by 2035. Sounds like it's quite a ways away. It's not, that's just 10 years from now. So your question, Josh, about 10 to 15 years from now, what do it look like? We're still gonna kind of be in between. I liken it to that phase where some of you still had like a pager. I know I'm going to date myself here. You had like a pager and you had a cell phone and you still had a house phone. And now nobody has a house phone. No one has a pager. Everyone just has a cell phone, right? So we'll kind of be in between that stage for a while. And just maybe one more thing, just being from Detroit, if you ever drive around, yes, you have the big three, you know, Ford, GM, Chrysler, but all around them are all these suppliers, right? So something going into the cars that's going to make the car go well. Batteries is going to be a major one. The technology that they use in terms of the computer, really, that's keeping the vehicle running is going to improve. And I think what they're going to do is challenge us as manufacturers that are giving the OEMs parts ways to improve our products, right? So improve the batteries, make them lighter. Right now, they are very heavy in some of our applications. 295, 75, or 225 low range H, which carries a lot of weight, is not enough to account for the weight of the battery on a front axle with some of these vehicles that we're seeing that are electric. That's going to push us into possibly develop another tire size, right, that we would not normally put in that application because we have to make sure our load carrying capacity within the tires is better. For the battery manufacturers, you know, challenging them to create lighter weight, quick, rapid charging, you know, batteries compared to what they have now. So not only will you see an advancement in adoption and sales of the vehicles, it's going to push us as parts providers to these OEMs or original equipment manufacturers. See, there's another acronym. Mm-hmm. It's going to push us to have better, faster pace, more advanced technologies going into our products to support their vehicles. So 10 to 15 years from now, we'll see who's on that curve ahead of the game, really providing what we're going to need to make these things work, these works, including the infrastructure. I know, Young, we were talking about that before, like how the infrastructure is just not there yet in terms of charging, right? If everyone snapped their fingers, switched over to EVs tomorrow, our grid is not quite there.
There are a lot of challenges still to be had, both on from the truck tire manufacturing side, the truck manufacturing side, the how the government will regulate this sector, how the utility companies will need to provide the energy for it. There's a lot of challenges that are still being worked on. It is a very exciting time if you're an engineer, because we're scrambling to figure out what is the best solution to be ready and to be able to handle this thing on all sectors, not just on the tire side. Tire side, we still have a lot of challenges. Whereas before, the business was, especially on the tire, we know what our tires need to operate under. We work on improving it and meeting those needs. Now we have this whole nother sector and we're preparing ourselves for that. Utility company, government, everybody, including the end user, because the fleets have to figure out right now the challenge is these trucks are not getting the same distance and operation time as the internal combustion engine. So therefore, this is why they're a little slow to adopt because of that, and it costs more. So they have to figure out a way, where does this work? In the future and projecting, whereas we had the internal combustion engine to do everything, I do not see going forward, we will have one EV that will do everything. We will have multiple technologies that will be used for various sectors of the operation.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned like something related to the fleets and how they're going to have to change. Think about the support. Think about the mechanics that have been working on these vehicles for years. And I don't know if you guys have ever done it, but while you're sitting at home, or not while you're driving, if you're listening to this podcast, but like look at the inside of where the engine was on an EV compared to an ICE. Think about a mechanic that's been working on ICEs for 20, 30, 40 years. And now they're going to have to, fleets, I'm saying, are going to learn how to maintenance, you know, or upkeep their maintenance and work with these. And, you know, that's another skill set or area they're going to have to, you know, invest in terms of training, not just buying the EV, which is a whole thing in itself, not just making sure that their parking lot is set up and they have charging stations available. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a whole shift in what they're going to have to do, even with staffing to support, you know, this shift over time.
And that's a very good point on the mechanic, because you don't have just mechanics now. With EVs, you got technicians that have to understand how to work on these vehicles, not just on the mechanical level, but on the electrical and even software level to a certain degree. It's a whole different skill set on that. On top of the other aspect, like with the charging aspect, that you will have to have technicians to make sure charging units are up to speed and maintained and so on. So it's a whole nother paradigm shift here, and a whole nother group of supporting staff that needs to be done. And these are definitely, like I said, there's a lot of challenges still to be had.
But I think this goes back to you know, the comment you made about where we're at currently, where we're kind of in the toddler phase of this, right? Where we're a lot further along than where we were a few years ago, but the future still has a lot more to be figured out, right? You know, and I think too, you know, Rich mentioned about the number of startup companies that are out there currently who might be changing the whole way we're looking at this, right? I mean, the way we look at an electric truck might be totally different in 10 to 15 years. There's going to be a lot of exciting developments, right? It's not going to look the same way it does today, 10 to 15 years from now, which is inspiring, and it may be a little anxiety inducing for some of our fleets who are trying to figure out, okay, what are we going to do? How are we going to make these adjustments? So I guess in that same kind of theme though, from a tire manufacturer side, you know, we probably have the same questions that a lot of our fleet customers do. So what are we doing to stay ahead of the trends here? What are we doing to stay actively involved, so we're not blindsided by what the industry looks like in 10 years from now?
I would say there's two major factors: rolling resistance for tires because of range, because the impact of rolling resistance on electric vehicle range is a big aspect. And then the other aspect is, we also know, as Rich mentioned, torque. There's a torque effect. And one thing we know in electric vehicle is that there's a new technology that introduced in the operation, which is regenerative braking. So that way, while the vehicle is not accelerating, not giving power on during the coasting portion, it uses that energy to recharge and put back some energy into the battery. And that is a new operation in the vehicle dynamics that creates an additional, what we call torque. And it's negative torque because it's in the opposite direction, but it's another torque effect. And from our initial findings and so on, and this ain't new. This is everybody in the industry that has studied this and is a part of it will tell you that tires wear faster. Just tires wear faster. Anywhere from 20 to 50% is the general rule of thumb that everybody's seeing. So for us tire manufacturers, we're going to have to contend with tire wear, and we're going to have to contend with rolling resistance, because the early EV models and original equipment manufacturers we're looking at is, we know that battery electric is lacking in range operations compared to the internal combustion. So they wanted the lowest rolling resistance tires so that way they could maximize the range of the vehicle. But on top of that, we have this other aspect that is causing more wear. So whereas we in the tire manufacturer have always tried to balance these approach depending on the application, as far as rolling resistance and getting the best mileage, we have done that. Now the need for it has just accelerated. That's the big difference. Our strategy doesn't change. Our strategy just gets pushed up faster, if that makes sense, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the funny thing about when you talk about, and I'm going to speak now just from the product development side, when you look at the requirements of a tire that's going on a electric vehicle versus an ICE, it's really exactly the same, because it's really just a mindset shift. So you have the normal things, the right size, the right load carrying capacity, mileage, rolling resistance levels, durability, wet handling, dry handling, braking, and levels of noise. It's the same thing no matter what the vehicle is. We just have a difference in effect on performance, right, with exactly what Young was stating. So now it's balancing both. So because our tires have now in effect, just the mindset shift now, right? Going from fuel efficient, now I'm not dealing with fuel, I'm dealing with a battery. Now I'm trying to maximize range. So before maximizing fuel efficiency, now I'm maximizing range. Same thing we affect in tires, which is rolling resistance, right? But now it's just kind of shifting the mindset of what am I saving, right? So if we can get you an extra, I don't know, just whatever, 0.5 miles per gallon, that was a huge fuel savings. Now we're going to think about it like, hey, I can get you an extra 30 minutes, just making up a number here, on the road because of the lower rolling resistance and the less energy that your vehicle is going to use using my tire for compared to like a competitor. Okay. So just that by itself, load carrying capacity. I spoke to that a little bit earlier, right? So these heavier batteries now may call us to consider, okay, now we got to increase our load carrying capacity, come out with different sizes to carry more weight, until we see that, which I think will happen, is going to start to happen, the battery technology develop in a positive way to where they're lighter, then we can focus less on tires that carry more weight and then more on balancing those rolling resistance and mileage factors, right? And then Young hit the nail on the head talking about the reality is you will have your tires wear out more quickly just by the nature and design of these, unless there's a technology breakthrough, right, where regenerative braking can be controlled or manipulated in some way. But if it is what it is, which is what we're going to see, 30 to 50% less miles is a lot. So if I'm a long haul fleet and I'm getting 300,000 miles out of a drive tire, 150, that is a huge, huge decrease. And then we got to think about, all right, now I'm retreading sooner. Okay, so does my tire now have the ability to be durable enough to maybe retread more often, more frequently, right? So instead of 3 years, maybe it's a year and a half because it's wearing more quickly. Now I'm retreading sooner. You know, what do you have or what can you provide as a manufacturer, you know, to help me combat this? Luckily, we've got new tires and retreads ready to go here at Continental. So already have the solutions in place for fleets to deal with like rapid wear. But again, just a mindset shift here, just thinking about now charge or range versus fuel, mileage and rolling resistance have always been a challenge for us, trying to balance both to make sure we get the best cost per mile, but at the same time, get you decent mileage. So none of that's really changed at all either. It's just kind of shifting your mind or turning your head to the left and looking at it, you know, from a different perspective as far as what vehicle the tires are going on. Because the application is the same. If you're long haul, you're long haul. If you're a bus, you're a bus. That part's not changing. The tires still need to perform, you know, in the right application for the right customer.
And that's a interesting. The point is with the EV sector is, like I said, our strategy didn't change. It's just accelerated. Some of the new things is like as Brittany said, retread. If tires were faster, retread could become a bigger factor in the, you know, with the fleets, with EV operations. Another aspect is Continental has technologies that we could do to really maximize these things. But the other aspect is right now, some of those technologies are just costly. Does it make sense to make this great tire that it's way priced out for the fleets to be able to really utilize, you know? So that's the other aspect for manufacturers, is we've got to make sure we're giving our customers the best value for their dollar.
But Young, maybe just to hop in right there, this is the beautiful part, you know, about being a global company. We mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. we are behind here in the States. Europe has been on this trend for a very long time, and a large majority or a large portion of our R&D or research and development teams related to engineering sit in Hanover, Germany, right? They sit over there. So they've already been producing these tires, focusing on lower rolling resistance, focusing on raise to make the tire perform better. Again, they're already further ahead in electrification. So that is the benefit of having a global tire company. You know, we may not have it here locally just yet, because as we mentioned, we're in that infancy or toddler stage, but they're probably at the, I don't know, maybe teenager stage. And so we mm-hmm. already have it available. So when it comes to bringing those technologies from our European side and bringing them here to the States, this is a, we can do this, you know, in a very agile way. We're not having to start from scratch. And this is where we can learn from them, because they're a couple steps ahead. Maybe they hit a roadblock and learn quickly. Now we don't have to hit that same roadblock here in our tire development process. And maybe just one thing, I'll let Young maybe speak more to, but we have this task force, this EV task force that we have developed. And we're looking at these trends and seeing what we can learn from what's going on in the market and how we can apply them not only to tire development, but our business as well. And Young's actually leading that initiative. So maybe you can speak more to the task force and what that's going to entail here.
Yeah. So as we talk, Continental is not just a tire producing company. We are a technology driven company. And because of that, one of the things that we do on this side is we created a task force because we knew this was happening, this EV segment. So we took experts in our market, in our side, this task force is for North America. And we have come together to lay out a strategy, gather the information we need. So some of the stuff we do is we work with fleets to find out which fleets are using electric vehicles. And then we are working with them to gather some of the information, because at the end of the day, we need to make sure the end user gets what they need from our product. And how can we assist them with this transition? So we do have a couple of fleets that we are working with. We are gathering information, and that will fuel back to our Hanover team in development to see what they've been working on. And we align to all that. So that way we are providing the best solution and pushing technology for this ever-changing market that we're currently in.
I think that's a great point about collecting data, and you're talking about how we're doing this from an R&D engineering perspective, but this is also something too that our field sales teams can help out and are helping out with as well, right? When we talk about initiatives like PPMO or product performance monitoring, where we're trying to go out there and track tires performing at fleets that are already running some EVs or maybe have some EV buses already in their fleets. I mean, there's some good opportunities for all of us to kind of work together here to make sure we're staying ahead of these kind of trends and hopefully help one another out to make sure we can really take good advantage of this with a lot of our customers here, right? I mean, there's a lot of changes, a lot of things that are going to be on the horizon here. So the closer we can be with our customers, the more we can work with them to make sure we're providing the right solution, the better for everybody here.
Yes. And you hit the point, and that's the whole premise of this EV task force. I work from the OE side of it. So my team works on from the OE side of it. Brittany and her team is part of it, you know, of this EV task force. They work from the marketing and product portion of it. We have Mauricio from the R&D. So we have R&D. And we have Charles Crosby from the replacement side who is working on that aspect, as you said, from our field salespeople. So he's our representative, and he works on gathering that information. So it is a multifunctional or cross-functional group that have come together, and we're working at it holistically, not just from one aspect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, I know we're getting close here on time, so I think that's a great point to end on here, right? I think that gives from starting about a little bit of uncertainty and maybe some concern or anxiety about EVs to seeing our plan and our roadmap and knowing we're in good hands here as we really plan for the future and should have some good solutions on the horizons for our customers here. So with that in mind, any closing thoughts from our EV expert panel here?
I just want to make a couple comments here. First of all, one thing I didn't mention earlier that I think is important is this isn't just going to emerge like across the board. There are some certain areas that are this is going to take off more quickly. The first one is probably going to take off quickly, which is already starting to is Urban City Bus or Coach. Their infrastructure is perfect for electric type of a vehicle. They're back every couple hours. They have two shifts. They're back at noon to switch bus drivers, charge up and kind of go. They're off the road at night so they can charge. Last mile delivery is probably going to be the second one. I know we don't have, I'm not sure about the EV side on that class. I guess that'd be class 4 and 5, right, Young? Or 4, 5, 6. But you think about your Amazons, your FedExes of the world. They're, again, back home at night. They can charge. They're local. They're not going too far. So range should not be a topic. Biggest challenge for them is probably going to be urbanization. So you think about a very highly congested city street while they're sitting in place, you know, is the battery going to die while they're in the middle of gridlock traffic in New York? I don't know. And then regional, we mentioned, I named all those vehicles earlier, the OEMs that are participating with the models, but regional be next, but they're limited kind of like 300 miles, 400 miles in range at the moment. And then long haul is that last stretch because we need the infrastructure. You need charging available or rapid charging available across the U.S. So everywhere you would have fueled up, now you're charging up, right? And you need those stations available at truck stops, et cetera. And then we mentioned the the batteries, but hydrogen fuel cell technology being probably that driving force that will have the long haul sector moving forward. So, you know, I know it's a lot, like all vehicles, it's going to happen in segments, like again, urban city bus, last mile delivery, regional and long haul. And then the last thing from the product side, maybe to help you guys listening and your efforts, is that you're going to start to see this EV compatible checkmark that we're putting on the sidewall of certain tires. Our PLT, our passenger light truck colleagues, have already started using the symbol. And the symbol means, really simply put, that this tire or these tires or these marketing lines meet the diverse requirements of combustion engine, hybrid, and electric vehicles. So the fleets that are starting, again, to adopt, so maybe not 100% electric, they're going to have a combination of both vehicles for a period of time, right? So if you start to see the EV checkmark or EV compatible symbol pop up, this is like another selling tool or marketing tool that you can use when you're talking to customers to let them know we are really ahead of this initiative from a marketing and a product development standpoint. So those are just my closing thoughts. And the trend is here. It's we're living it.
And I know that we talk about EV, but on top of that, just to paint the picture that this is an ever-changing market and this is a very exciting time. Like I said, as an engineer, this is like an extremely exciting time for us, you know, because there's Star so Wars. Much challenges. Yeah, I know. But on top of that, I don't know where it's at, but I know we haven't touched it, but there's autonomous vehicles. Autonomous vehicle technology is being developed in parallel with EV and zero emission stuff. And right now there are corridors or stretches of highway across the United States, the one in Michigan that's opened up, Texas, where they are opened it up for autonomous vehicle testing. So we have that. We have EV. So like I said, very dynamic, changing markets is very exciting. I can't wait to see what 10, 15 years, how much we change. And then the biggest challenge, of course, as we mentioned before, is we just got to make sure we stay on top of the trends. We got to stay on top of what's happening and make sure we're developing the proper solution for the end user, right? And that's what we are challenged, and that is what we are committed to do on this side of the field.
Josh, I think you got another podcast topic, autonomous driving, autonomous vehicles. But thanks for that, Young.
Looks like we're going to get something lined up on autonomous vehicles for later this year.
There we go.
There you go.
And just to throw in too, Continental aligned with Aurora for autonomous Class 8 trucks. Mm-hmm. Like Young mentioned, Continental's technology company. A lot of people know Continental as a tire company, but Continental's a lot more than just a tire company.
Perfect, perfect. Well, thank you guys all so much for your time today. Thank you, Young and Brittany and Rich. Really appreciate your guys' insight and you guys taking the time to do this podcast here today. If you guys have any questions for these folks, please feel free to reach out to them. Otherwise, I think we have a very bright future ahead of us here with regards to EVs. And, you know, glad we got another episode for next month's podcast here here figured out too along the way. But thank you guys for your time. And until next month's episode, keep on rolling.
Keep on rolling.
Yep, keep on rolling.